Good morning. Welcome to West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. It is so good to see everybody here this morning. I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry. I use the pronouns she and her. And it is my pleasure to serve this very loving and caring congregation. I noticed that virtually everyone in the space has a mask on. And I just want to thank you. I mean, we're still in a tridemic. People are still getting really sick in our congregation and other places, and it's nice to make this a safe space for everyone. If you're someone that really feels like you can't have anybody without a mask, even a child or me or people who are singing, we have Forest Hall is now streaming the service, and it is for people who really feel safer when every person has a high-quality mask on. So we hopefully will have people down there, and that's where they can be socializing, so you might want to check in on people who are in that space so we can be welcoming to everyone. And I just want to let you know that each one of you is welcome here today. You're welcome no matter how you feel. If your heart is heavy, you're welcome whether you come with light step and joy to see all the people here. You're welcome if this is your very, very first time. You're welcome if you've been coming for months or for years. Everyone is welcome because you are a beloved child of the universe. And I would like you to greet all these other beloved children of the universe. So please greet someone, and greet someone you don't know. It's so good to get to know other people. Finish these amazing conversations during coffee hour downstairs. If you prefer not to take off your mask with other people for coffee, you can go into the coffee room, into Forest Hall, where we will be having socialization while we're wearing our masks. And there's also a coffee service online if you're watching that way this morning. If you can, put your phone on airplane mode or turn it off. But first, if you want an order of service or your announcements, you can use these handy QR codes, which are on the back of the seats, to check out the order of service and to get your announcements, which show you all the great things that are happening in this fellowship, of which there are many ways to connect and engage with other people. I think that's everything. Oh, I have one more thing. We're starting a new practice called Compassionate Circles. For people who are really wanting some extra support from the congregation because of something that's going on in their lives. And we're going to be doing that today after the service, probably in my office. So about 15 minutes after the service, if we could meet in the foyer, and I'll take you to my office. And so if you're somebody that wants to offer support, if your life's going well and you want to offer support, we so welcome you to be with us. And if you're someone who's needing a little extra care and support from our community, please join me. Those are called Compassionate Connections. And now we are going to rise and sing our opening hymn, which is 1008, When Our Heart Is in a Holy Place.
I'm Rosie Hamilton, and my pronouns are she and her, and I'm your lay leader today. This is a poem called Eagle Poem by Joyce Harjo. To pray, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to sun, to moon, to one whole voice that is you, and know there is more that you can't see, can't hear, can't know except in moments steadily growing, and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion. Like eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River, circles in blue sky, in wind swept our hearts clean with sacred wings. We see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take the utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in knowing that we are made of all this, and breathe knowing we are truly blessed because we were born and die soon within a true circle of motion, like eagle rounding out the morning inside us. We pray that it will be done in beauty, in beauty.
So I would like to invite any children forward this morning who would like to come forward. You can come right here. Tom does not bite. He has a mask on anyway, so even if he did, it would be really safe. So come on forward. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Tom, for being of good cheer. So this morning, the adults in the service are going to be talking about prayer. And prayer is a way of listening to what is closest to our hearts and our minds, and then releasing whatever we hear to the earth and the sky and the spirit of love and life. And sometimes a really fun way to do prayer is to do body prayers. So I'm going to ask everybody to stand up who would like to, including the children can stand up. We want you to like to. Okay, so I'm going to tell you the parts of the prayer. So we're going to start like this. We're going to begin with our hands in front of us. And this means listen to our quietness. And then we raise our arms high to open ourselves to the spirit of life and love, and to the trees, and to the sky. And then we bring our hands to our heart to listen to our inner voice. And then we release our deepest yearning. So we're going to do it again. Listen to our quietness. Open ourselves to the spirit and the sky and the trees. Hear our heart's deepest yearning. And release them. And now we're going to do it without words. Now we will sing the children to their classes.
In our heart as you go,
This reading is called Gratitude, and it was written by Gordon McKeeman. Many of us know he was here as a minister for a while. For simple things that are not simple at all, for miracles of the common way, sunrise, sunset, seed time, harvest, hope, joy, ecstasy, for grace that turns our intentions into deeds, our compassion into helpfulness, our pain into mercy, for providence that sustains and supports our needs, we lift our hearts in thankfulness and pray only to be more aware and thus more alive.
So take a moment consider and lift your heart in thankfulness. Name silently or aloud or in the chat or wherever you are the things that you are truly thankful for this morning.
This is the time in our service when we pause to reflect on the gifts we have received from this abundant earth and the generous spirit of family and community, to consider what it is that we have given and what it is that we are grateful for. During the musical interlude, please consider the gifts you have to offer our WOOF community, whether it be financial support or the special gift of your time or talent. Know that we are grateful for your offerings. And now, our greeters will pass a basket. Thank you for your gifts. Now let us read together our words of gratitude. Let us be grateful when we are able to give, for many do not have that privilege. Let us be grateful for all those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And let us be grateful even for our needs, so that we may learn from the generosity of others.
There is so much happiness in this world, goodness, love, and beauty that grow within us and all around us. And together here, we create a circle of celebration deep enough to hold all the joys of our hearts. There's also so much pain in this world. Each of us knows loss and suffering, and the ways we are not the people that we most want to be. And together here we create a circle of compassion wide enough to hold all the sorrows of our lives. We will now have a moment of silence. When the music begins, please come forward if you feel moved to do so and place a stone in the water. This is the water of community of compassion that bears all of our sorrows. And the water is the community of celebration that shares all joys.
When I breathe in, I breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love. When I breathe in, I'll breathe in peace. When I breathe out, I'll breathe out love.
We will now hear the Lord's Prayer. We will have it read in four parts and four versions. The Lord's Prayer is probably the most well-known prayer in Christendom. Even if you are not Christian, you have undoubtedly heard it. So I'd like to invite speakers forward. Rosie and Scott and Sarah are going to help us. It is a prayer with many translations. I will read the Catholic version.
I will read the New Zealand prayer book.
I'll read a version written by UU Minister Reverend Fred Kite.
And I will read one possible translation from Aramaic.
Our Father who art in heaven,
eternal spirit, earth maker, pain bearer, life giver, source of all that is and all that shall be, Father and mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven.
Indwelling God, who art infused throughout all existence.
O birther, father, mother of the cosmos, you create all that moves in light.
Hallowed be thy name.
The hallowing of your name echo through the universe.
We hallow thee with many names.
Focus your light within us. Make it useful, as the rays of a beacon show the way.
Thy kingdom come.
The way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world.
Thy kingdom is within the human heart.
Unite our I can to yours, so that we walk as kings and queens with every creature.
Thy will be done.
Your heavenly will be done by all created beings.
We accept life for all that it can be.
Create in me a divine cooperation.
On earth as it is in heaven.
Your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth.
On earth as throughout all creation.
From many selves, one voice, one action.
Give us this day our daily bread.
With the bread we need for today, feed us.
May we continue to draw sustenance from this earth.
Grant what we need each day in bread and insight.
And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who've trespassed against us.
In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us.
And may we receive forgiveness equal to our own.
Forgive our hidden past, the secret shames, as we consistently forgive what others hide.
Do not let us fall into temptation.
In times of temptation and testing, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us.
May we ever move more from separation towards union.
Deceived neither by the outer nor the inner.
But deliver us from evil.
From the grip of all that its evil free us.
To live in grace with love in our hearts.
Free us to walk your path with joy.
For you reign in the glory of the power that is love now and forever.
Forever and ever.
From you is born all ruling will, the power and life to do, the song that beautifies all from age to age it renews.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. She makes me lie down in green meadows beside the still waters. She restores my soul. She rights my wrongs. She leads me in a path of good things and fills my heart with songs. Even though dark and dreary land, there is nothing that can shake me. She has said she won't forsake me. I'm in her hand. She sets a table before me in the presence of my foes. She anoints my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, surely goodness and kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will live in her house forever, forever and ever. shall be world without end.
I love the 23rd Psalm, and that is easily my favorite version. I find it so soothing and reassuring and comforting. I worked as a hospice chaplain briefly, and this was the prayer that people wanted. People who were Christian and people who were simply from Christian cultures, and at the hardest times of their lives, turned to that prayer. I once counseled a woman in real distress. She had not been a Unitarian Universalist very long, and she asked me with real pain in her voice, "Can Unitarian Universalists pray?" "Oh, yes," I said. "Yes, yes, yes." It was such a relief to her that a practice that had sustained her through her life was still available to her. She thought, since most people in our faith do not believe in a God that gives you what you want if you pray right and are good in the right ways. And she no longer believed this. So she thought that prayer was no longer an option for her. Our theme this month is finding our center. And one way nearly every faith offers its practitioners for finding their center is prayer. Many you use pray. I pray. I was not taught to pray. And since when I was younger, I thought that prayer was just that, asking a God I did not believe in for things that clearly God did not deliver. It wasn't something that I considered. Even though, when my life was in shambles, I would wail to the universe, to nothing in particular, but just out there, "Help, help, help." And I suspect such prayers are nearly universal. Over time, though, I came to pray more structured prayers, beginning with prayers of gratitude at meals. "Thank you," my family says as we gather at home. "I am grateful for being. I'm grateful for being here. I'm grateful for being here with you." It is a very short prayer, because when I was raising three sons who were 2 years apart, you had to get through that prayer before they crunched each other's hands. But now, when I can take more time, I expand the prayer to how grateful I am to live on this earth that offers us so many fruits and vegetables, grains and legumes, dairy, and, oh yes, chocolates. And coffee. And then I offer gratitude to all the people who created so many ways to put all those foods together in delicious, unexpected ways. How is it possible that we all get to live on a planet where there is pizza and pad thai and fish and chips and ice cream? I mean, thank you. I went through a period where I said the Lord's Prayer and Hail Marys every night before sleep. Not because they particularly expressed my faith, but because of their soothing cadence and their connection to people across time and the world. My daughter and I said the Buddhist loving kindness prayer before bed for years, blessing those we loved, blessing strangers, blessing those people we weren't getting along with well. And now I pray for the yearnings of my heart. I pray for people who are in trouble, and I hold them in care. And I imagine my prayers will change again and again over my life as I change. Who, you may ask, do I pray to? Or you may ask, what is the point of praying to something or someone that we may not believe in and certainly don't understand at all? Prayer is only useful, we may believe, when we understand how it works, when we believe we will have results, and we know what those results will be. And it would be frankly crazy, some might argue, to believe that prayer works. How many millennia have people prayed that their loved one would not die of illness, in war, of this sickness? And how many of those people have died anyway? How many people have prayed for rain or sun or for a job or food or love, and none of that happened? Certainly there are faiths that teach that praying is about influencing something beyond ourselves to get the outcomes that we want. We come from the Western tradition, after all, with a strong belief in personal will. We can will things to happen if we are just strong enough to enact our will. The purpose of prayer must be to influence something beyond us to do our will. However, this is certainly not a universal, worldwide idea about prayer, or even within Western traditions, it's not the only idea about prayer. More often, religious teachers and mystics tell us that prayer is a conversation or relationship with God or the divine. Well, this can sound just as problematic. If there's going to be a conversation, doesn't there have to be someone to have a conversation with? This is where language falls entirely apart. Because when it comes to the holy, we aren't, the mystics tell us, talking about something or someone. We're talking about a quality of experience. The divine sacred dimension of life is something experienced. It surpasses articulation, even though poets and musicians and mystics can often give us just fleeting, edgy glimpses of it. Mary Oliver is good at that. What spiritual teachers say is that we can enter into relationship with that particular kind of experience of life and learn to trust it. There are other parts of life that can't be understood unless they are experienced. Actually, quite a lot of them. Can we understand wet if we've never been wet? Or understand blue if we've never seen blue? Or understand music if we've never heard music? You can have a relationship with the music of Mozart or water when you jump in a lake, but explaining this with words or to another person who knows nothing of music or Mozart or water or lakes is virtually impossible. The calcification of the divine in Western Christianity to this particular kind of acting God has left many of us raised in this culture, whether we are or have ever been Christian, with one expectation of what is the holy, sacred aspect of life is. It is a hierarchical, patriarchal God who is very much like a human and only absolutely powerful. If we don't believe in this, sometimes it's difficult to open to other possibilities and experiences of the divine. It can also make the act of prayer just feel like a waste of time. Western thought has taught us that we should only trust what can be sensed with our five senses and studied using the scientific method. And much of our life isn't really about our five senses or and can't very well be studied using the scientific method. Consider falling in love. Or those moments when you're laughing about an old story with old friends or family, that quality of experience, or that feeling that one gets in enormous crowds of people singing or cheering, or even here in this congregation singing out loud one of our very favorite hymns. None of these can be pinned down and explained exactly like the workings of a flu virus. We experience them. And we can organize our lives to experience them more. If we love that feeling when laughing with close friends, we can do the work to have more close friends and get together with them more often. If we want the feeling of romantic love, we need to find a partner and work at keeping that spark alive. If we love the surge of energy we get at a huge concert, we need to go to concerts. we are open enough, and usually even if we aren't, experiences that might be called spiritual or holy or God moments, depending on your language choices, happen to us. But just like with love or friendship, it is through practice and attention that these experiences become more likely in our lives, or we actually even notice them when they happen. Religious and spiritual traditions offer many paths for this, and one foundational path is prayer. But what is prayer? Prayer listens to our deepest truths and releases it to something greater than ourselves. Prayer is the act of settling so quietly so we are present to what is, and then to sense what is actually happening. Sometimes our brains get so fuzzy and we have certain pictures of the world that we don't actually attend to what's happening. Prayer can be a cry of anguish. It can be a rush of gratitude. It can be hope. It can be without any expectation. Prayer, says Brother David Seindl Rast, is attuning yourself to the life of the world, to love, to the force that moves the sun and moon and the stars. When we pray, we begin by naming anything greater than ourselves that just feels right for us. The universe, the ocean, it's one of my favorites, wind, trees, spirit of life, holy one, divine, the one who comforts, the one who destroys, mother, father, goddess, God. Or we may choose no name at all. And then we name our yearnings. To love more deeply, to forgive, to be less afraid, to listen more, to serve more easily, to speak truth, to not run from discomfort, to reduce the suffering of others, to bring happiness to the depressed and freedom to the oppressed, and so much for that courage to be exactly who we are. We can use words when we pray, or we can just be silent. It's usually helpful to give that little monkey mind that's always talking to you something to play with, like our breath, coming back to our breath, or maybe to a repeated word every time it goes climbing off to do what it does. And then behind that is the silence. We can recite prayers that are already written. The Lord's Prayer, we heard in four versions this morning, is one that is said across the world and over centuries. And I think it's been so popular because it gets to some real basics. It praises what exists. It calls out to what we most want. Kingdom of love and justice. It asks for real material sustenance. Give us bread. Give us food. Give us what we need. And then it asks us to forgive ourselves and to forgive others, which is such a basic for getting along in a world where every one of us is imperfect and hurts other people. And it asks us to distance our behavior from that what hurts. Our own, let us not trespass. And others, keep us from evil. When we pray, we can use these words, and there's so many versions that don't use that same Our Father hierarchical God, because it's not really necessary for the prayer. And then we can also just pray spontaneously, the words of our heart. We can sing prayer. We heard that this morning. We can make prayers with our bodies, like we did this morning with the children. It can feel so stilling and present. We listen to ourselves, to the still voice, and we listen to our lives and to the interactions of the people around us and to our world. And then we release control. We let go. We surrender. We can say in this moment, this is too much. Please, universe of grace, hold it with me. I am not alone, which is foundationally true about all of us, no matter how we feel. The function of prayer is not to influence God, said the philosopher Soren Kierkegaard. Right? But rather to change the nature of one who prays. And prayer does change people. You'll love to know this. Scientists, of course, have studied prayer. And they discover that people who pray have better metabolisms, heart rate, blood pressure, breathing rate, and calmer brain activity than people who do not pray. There's more than one person in the world who was helped by a 12-step program that will tell you that you can pray without belief. In fact, you should. You need to. It's the act. And that, for these people, has shifted something, released something to their complete surprise that helped them not drink or use anymore. It changed their way of approaching life to something sustainable. And I have to tell you that after years of talk therapy, trying to heal the wounds that I received early in my life, I only began to experience real healing when I began to pray. Only after praying to forgive others have I been able to forgive. I could tell myself that I should forgive and it was good for me and the world and it was my faith as much as I wanted to. But it was only when I prayed for it that I actually got the grace of actual forgiveness. When I practice gratitude, the world is fuller and richer, and I am less inclined to get into wanting moods. I experience more grace in my life when I pray. I experience more life imbued with meaning. So, it comes back for all of us usually, right? What is the cause of such transformation? Is there really a power working in the world that makes such things possible? You know, who knows? I'm confident there's so much more about how we're interconnected with one another that I have no idea about. The universe, the physicists tell us, is so much more than our brains can really comprehend. It's utterly surprising and kind of crazy how it works. Yeah, so maybe there's something there, I don't know. And prayer could also just be the way that our left brain speaks to the right brain or our right brain speaks to our left brain. The human brain loves metaphor. It loves ritual and maybe it's just the language our brain speaks. I don't know. I am really with Buddha on this. He said that there's no edification in concerning ourselves with such metaphysical issues. He really could care less, actually, about such things, if there was a God or if there was life after death, or he just didn't care. What he was about was practice. He was about practicing activities that change us and make our lives more open, more wondrous, more compassionate, with less suffering. So let us take a moment to practice. You may choose to pray with words or silence, and you can call this activity meditation or something else if that works better, if prayer is like a triggering word for you. Words actually don't matter at all in this case. So I'd like us to enter into prayer with this introduction from Thomas More. He said, "Pray, period. Don't expect anything, or better, expect nothing. Prayer cleanses us of expectations and allows holy will, providence, and life itself an entry. What could be more worth the effort or the non-effort?" And also there are these words from Mary Oliver, praying. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention. Then patch a few words together and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. Let us take a moment of prayer or meditation. Amen. So scientists have studied prayer. Of course they have. And the first person to take this on was in the 1800s or 1700s. when everybody was doing experiments on everything. And it was in England, and this gentleman realized that if prayer worked, the royal family should be the healthiest people in the empire. Since the liturgy in the Church of England had everyone praying for the royal family every single week. Well, he discovered they were not. And if all the current information about their lives that we're learning is true, it also did not create warm family relationships or strong mental health. So, there have also been some well-funded double-blind studies that are definitively showing that praying for people that you do not know does not improve health outcomes for the person prayed for. However, they really have discovered that praying does improve the health outcomes for the person who's doing the praying. Interesting, another set of studies that they've done have shown that praying for the well-being of your spouse, particularly in difficult times, improves marriages. Praying for others improves relationships. This actually makes sense. If we are praying for the well-being of those we care about, for those we struggle with, we focused our attention differently, thus opening possibilities for different possibilities within those relationships. Many traditions over time have promoted praying for others for this reason. It's one way we truly grow love in the world, is by offering prayer to other people. One version that many of you have probably heard is the Buddhist loving kindness meditation, and we will sing it now. It is 10:31 in your teal hymnals. We don't have words for this morning, but if you're at home watching this, it actually pretty much follows a pattern that's easy to catch on with. You don't necessarily need the words, even if you're here. It's in the teal hymnal, 10:31.
He's going to play it through once for us, and then we will sing it together. We will sing it three times with the word changes at the bottom of the page. May I